Any questions? All right, sounds great. All right, I'd like to welcome everybody again. We have four wonderful speakers for the weekend. But tonight, sharing their experience, strength, and hope, we have Tom and Juanita from New Mexico.
My name's Tom. I'm an alcoholic. Hi, I'm grateful to be here. I'm sober by the grace of God only. And I'm grateful to be in that shape and be alive. And we were really grateful to have been asked to come to this deal. Juanita will introduce herself. We'll start with a prayer, and then we'll get rolling.
Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody. No, that's not on either.
Just turn it
on.
Just turn it
on.
This one?
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name's Juanita. And I have been affected by someone's drinking. I'm a family member who's been affected by someone's drinking. And I'm a member of Al-Anon. And I really think there's a difference in just being affected by someone's drinking and being a member of Al-Anon. So that's a little bit of a difference between two fellowships. He can tell you he's an alcoholic, and that tells you a lot. But I've heard a lot of people say I'm with someone and they're in Al-Anon, but they've never darkened the door of an Al-Anon meeting, ever. So there's a little bit of a difference there. Anyway, we're glad to be here. And you want to start with a prayer?
Yeah, I'm going to open this with a serenity prayer, and then I'm going to say a little prayer that we were taught we like to say for these deals. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. And God, I want to ask that you bless this weekend for all of us, and that especially that you allow us to set aside everything that we think we know about ourselves and about you, about the big book, and about the 12 steps, so that we can have open hearts and open minds and have a new experience with all of these things. May thy will be done. Amen.
Amen.
Yay, God. You... Start?
We thought that we would start by having you guys introduce yourselves. And we came up with a rule. Sal didn't have very many, so we thought, oh, let's throw one in there for him. And so we want your name, because this is a pretty large group. And if we usually ask your name, where you're from, if you're AA or Al-Anon, and what you expect to get out of this weekend. But because we have so many people, if we did all that,
we'd be here all weekend.
So how about your name, where you're from, and what fellowship you're in? And we'll start.
And if you want to give a sobriety date, or we call it an Al-Anon, a serenity date sometimes, you can do that as well.
Start with Bill.
I'm Bill Sullivan.
Oh.
Give him a mic. Maryland, and my sobriety date is April 30th, 2006.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill. Let's get that mic.
Bill's got it.
What we're trying to do is form a group here. And one of the ways we're going to do that is by letting people know who we are.
Also, just so everybody knows, be careful with the microphones near the speakers, because that's what Jimi Hendrix used to do with the feedback.
And you are not Jimi Hendrix.
All right. Brian K., Long Beach, New York, Primary Purpose Group, Lindbrook, New York. Sobriety date, July 28th,
99. Thanks,
Brian. Hi, Brian.
Ed Mutum, alcoholic, Davenport, Iowa. Sobriety date, January 5th, 1971.
Hi, Ed.
My name's Neil, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date's January 29th, 1989. I'm from Roanoke, Virginia.
Neil.
Hi, I'm Robin. I'm an alcoholic from Roanoke, Virginia, March 2nd, 94.
Hi, my name is Andre. I'm an alcoholic, sober 3 years, 9 months today. I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
Hi, Andre.
Mm-hmm. He sounds like it, doesn't he?
Mary, I'm alcoholic, Long Beach, New York. Sobriety date, October 1988.
Derek, if you're not in a fellowship and you're just visiting or you're here to support somebody, you can say that too. Mm-hmm. We're glad you're here.
Derek, alcoholic. I'm a member of the Baldwin Group. Sobriety date's October 9, 99.
Renee T. from the Spruce Group in Queens, member of the Al-Anon and AA. Sobriety date is September 15, 85.
Hello, family. I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Yvonne, and my sobriety date is February 18, 1988, and my home group is Young People in Recovery in Brooklyn. All are welcome.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Hi, my name is Vicki, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is January 22, 2002. And my home group is Utopia here in Queens.
Great.
Hi, I'm Darielle, and I'm an alcoholic, and my sobriety date is November 12th, 1998. Home group, Utopia, didn't I?
Hi, I'm Carol. I'm an alcoholic. My clean date is July 16 of 06. I got 20 days today.
Yeah. All right.
And my name is Jed. I'm an alcoholic. I'm from Forest Hill.
Jed.
Hi, Damon Gaverna, alcoholic from Open to Discussion Big Book Study in Manhattan, sober since 2000.
I'm Clemente. I'm an alcoholic from Brooklyn, and I think I'm Jimi Hendrix.
Hi, I'm Michelle from the White Stone Group, and my sobriety date is 8504.
Hi, I'm Maria. Alcoholic. Primary purpose is my group in Lynbrook, New York. My sobriety date is July 5th this year.
Hi, my name's Tara. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Early Risers, Long Beach, New York, and my sober date is August 24th, 1986.
Hi, my...
Jimmy.
Hi, my... Hi, my name is Joe. I'm from Astoria, Alcoholics in Action, September 29, 1989.
I'm Gene. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Jackson Heights. Jackson Heights Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My sober date is April 16, 2000.
Hi, my name is Tom. My home group is Valley Stream, Olivet. Sobriety date is February 05.
Hi, I'm Patty. I'm an alcoholic, and my home group is Olivet, and my sobriety date is May 2004.
Hi, my name is Anita. I'm also from Valley Stream Olivet. Sobriety is March 28, 2004.
Hi, I'm Medina. My sobriety date is April Fool's Day, 2001. And my home group is One Day at a Time in Oceanside.
My name is Ken. I'm an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is January 26, 1996. And my home group is Sobriety First.
My name is Irene, and I'm from Al-Anon.
Hi, Irene. My name is Al. I'm from the Astoria Starting Over Group. My sobriety date is Halloween, 1977.
Hi, I'm Iris. I'm an alcoholic from the Back to Basics group in Dublin, Ireland. Sober since... Yay! Yay! Sober since July 27th, 2000.
Hi, my name is Daniel. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Back to Basics in Dublin, Ireland. And, all right, my home, my sobriety date is February
27, 2001. Hi, I'm Brenda. I'm an alcoholic, and my home group is Rule 62 in Sweet Valley. My sobriety date is September 23rd of 1987.
Hi, I'm Kimberly. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a member of the Back Mountain Group in Dallas, Pennsylvania, and my sobriety date is December 8th, 2003.
Hi, my name is Gus. I'm an alcoholic. I'm from the Utopia Group here in Queens, and I have 4 days clean.
Right.
Hi, my name is Paul. My home group is the Back to Basics group in Dublin, Ireland. My sobriety date is the 13th of September 2003.
Hi, my name is Helen. I'm from Blanchardstown, that's in Dublin, Ireland, and I'm here to support my partner, Paul.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Adam. I'm from Sobriety First right here in Queens. My sobriety date is July 11th, 88.
Hey, what's up? My name is Danny. I'm an alcoholic and an addict. 17 days sober. Actually, it's 18. I'm sorry. It's 18. 18 today.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Ray. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is a Remember When group here in Queens. And my sober date's October 28th, 1981.
Hi, my name is Alex. I'm an alcoholic, and this is my second day sober.
My name's Danny R. from Serenity by the Sea in Long Beach. Sober date, November 27th, 1987.
Hi, I'm Mary. I'm an alcoholic from Queens, New York. My sober date is March 5th, 2006.
Hi, I'm Dermot. I'm an alcoholic. My group is There Is a Way Out. My sober date is January 19th of this year. Thank you.
Hi, my name is... a microphone. Hi, my name is Rhonda, and I'm an alcoholic addict. Home group is Patchogue, Long Island, the Big Book. 52 days clean and sober today.
I'm Brian. I'm an alcoholic from Sobriety First in Port Jeff. My sobriety date is April 1st, 2001.
Hi, I'm Jamie. I'm an alcoholic. Sober date April 25th, 2005, and I'm from Mount Sinai.
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, everyone. My name is Janet. I am from the group in Port Jeff Into Action, and my sober date is June 12, 2001.
Hi, I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Annette. My sober date is September 26, 2003. I'm from Port Jeff now. I used to be from Astoria. Now I'm from Port Jeff Into Action. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Steve, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is October 6, 2005, and I'm a member of the Save a West group in Long Island.
Hi, my name is Joanne. I'm from Plainview, New York, and I'm visiting today to support my husband, John.
Yeah. Welcome.
Hi. Welcome. My name is John. I'm from Plainview, and my sober date is April 26, 2000.
Hi, my name. My name is Adelaide. I'm an alcoholic. I'm from a little group in the north of France, and my sobriety date is May 9, 2005.
Welcome.
Hi, my name is Rob. My home group is the Winter Circle in Elmont at the racetrack, and my clean date is. My clean date is June 9th of this year.
Hi, I'm Christine. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is also the Winner Circle in Elmont, and my sober date is November 19th
of 2005. Sal P., Utopia, sober date, December 5th, 1934. No, I'm kidding. Sal P., May 24th, 1998. God bless.
Hey, everybody. My name is Denise. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My home group is Utopia. And my sober date is June 17th, 1996.
Hi, my name is Rick. I'm an alcoholic. Sober date, March 28th,
1996. Hi, everyone. I'm Patty. I'm a recovered alcoholic from Ingram, Texas. Home group is, well, there is a solution, San Antonio, Texas. Gets confusing. And my sober date is February 28th, 1992.
My name is Chris Raymer, recovered alcoholic. November 13th, 1987, and home groups, Ingram Solution Group.
Hello, everybody. My name is Bart R., recovered alcoholic. Sober date, June 12th, 1995, home group, Utopia.
I'm John. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Primary Purpose in Lynbrook. I got clean on June 2nd of this year. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Brenda. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a member of the Right Place Group in Westbury, Nassau County, and my sober date is October 3rd, 1997.
Hi, I'm Bill. I'm an alcoholic, member of the Baldwin Group in Nassau County, Long Island. My sobriety date is August 4th, 1981.
Is today your anniversary?
Yes, it is.
All right. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I'm Justin. I'm an addict and an alcoholic. I'm from Queens, and my sober date is June 1st, 1993.
Hi, my name is Racy. I'm an alcoholic. My sober date is March 12th, 2002, and I'm a member of the French Church of Manhattan.
Hi, I'm Robin, alcoholic. My sober date is June 10th, 2006.
Hi, I'm Mark. I'm an alcoholic. My sober date is December 25th, 2003, and my home group is There Is a Way Out, Woodshed, Queens.
Hi, I'm Sean. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm from the Primary Purpose Group of Nassau County. We meet every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock for a beginner's meeting, 8 o'clock for a big book study, shameless plug. And my sober date is July 20th, 1993.
My name is Peter. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My sober date is 11th of December, 1981. My home group is a Cannes Big Book Study meet in the south of France.
My name is Simon. I'm a recovered alcoholic. Sobriety date is June 20, 2003, and my home group is the Primary Purpose Big Book Study in Cannes, France.
My name is Frank. I'm from Hamden, Connecticut. My sobriety date is September 19, 1994. Home group is Dwight Hall, New Haven, Connecticut, at Yale University.
Hola, me llamo José. I'm an alcoholic. From Hamden, Connecticut. My sober day was April 26, 2006.
Hello, my name is Adrian. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My home group's There Is a Way Out in Queens. My sober date is January 2001.
Hi, my name is Tom Needham. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My home group is the Way Out Group on Staten Island, and God separated me from alcohol on October 15th, 1994.
Hi, my name is Charlie R. I got 24 days today.
Hi, my name is Artnur. My sobriety date is November 13th, 2000, and my home group is Men Among Men in Reykjavik, Iceland.
Hi, my name is Axel. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is 29th of April, 1988, and my home group is Men Among Men in Reykjavik.
My name is Vic. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is the Primary Purpose in Lynbrook, New York.
My name is Chuck Fleming. I'm an alcoholic. I'm from Long Island. My home group is Primary Purpose, Lynbrook, New York. My sobriety date is May 15th, 2005.
Hello, my name is Alvin. Home group is Reflections Plainview, New York. Sobriety date, October 5th, 2005.
Hi, friends. I'm an alcoholic, member of the 12 Traditions group in Canada. My name is Wally Nguyen, and my dry date is December 1st, 04.
Hi, everyone. I'm an alcoholic, member of the Liverpool group in Pickering, Ontario. My dry date is April 22nd, 1994, and it's really good to be here. My first visit to New York City. It's wonderful. Thanks.
All right.
Hi, everyone. I'm a recovered alcoholic from Bowmanville, Ontario, Canada. My sobriety date is September 18th, 2000. Name? Mike Reed. Sorry.
Hi, everyone. My name's Robin. I'm an alcoholic from Bowmanville, Ontario, Canada, and I'm a member of the Road to Recovery group. My dry date is September 26, 2000.
Hi, friends. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Maria. I belong to the Road to Recovery group in Bowmanville, Canada. My sobriety date is April 12, 2006. Glad to be here in New York.
Hello, I'm also a recovered alcoholic, as long as I keep Spirit of God at my side and work the 12 steps. From Bowmanville, Ontario, Canada, my name is Mark Colesmith.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mike. I'm an alcoholic from that state of Brooklyn. My sobriety date is New Year's Day, 2001.
Hi, my name is Maria Shurov. I am an alcoholic. My home group is Common Solution in Staten Island. My sober day is December 1st, 2005. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Dyker Heights in Brooklyn, and my sober date is around April 15th, 2006.
Hello, family. My name is Eric Conrad. I'm a member of the Unity Group, the best group in New York. My sobriety date is January 2004.
Hi, my name is Joey Jets. Progress Group, Flushing, New York, 11-27-02.
Hi, my name is Ben. I'm a recovered alcoholic from the Utopia Group, and my clean date is March 21st, 2004.
Hi, everybody. My name is Rich. And my day count is that lucky number 13.
Hello, family. My name is Harry C. from the Flushing, New York Utopia Group, and my sober date is December 26, 2000.
Hi, I'm a big book thumper. My name is Sue Borth. I'm from Weymouth, Massachusetts, and my home group is Into Action, Big Book Step Study, Weymouth, Massachusetts.
Hi, my name is Annie. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Weymouth Into Action, Big Book Step Study, and my sober date is June 4th, 2005.
Hi, my name's Meg. I'm an alcoholic. I'm from Weymouth, Massachusetts, and my home group is Weymouth Into Action, Big Book Study, and Weymouth New Life.
My name is Danny. I am all of the above. I'm a member of the Weymouth Interaction Big Book Step Study.
My name is Roger Taylor. I'm an alcoholic. Sober date June 17th, 1994, from New York City and West Hampton.
Everybody, my name is John Bardo. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a member of the Dykeman Group in Scenic Upper Manhattan.
Hi, everyone. My name's Arnello. I'm an alcoholic. And my home group is an AA group east up in Ulster County. And my last drink, by the grace of God, was February 17, 2003.
Hi, my name is Leslie. My home group is the Gardens Group in Kessel Street. And my sober date is June 7th, 1987.
Hi, I'm Kathy. I'm an alcoholic. My sober date is January 26, 2004.
and my home group is Mid-Harlem.
Hi, my name is Carl. I'm from the Big Book Study in Harlem. My sober date is November 11th, 1991.
Hi, my name is Wallace from Forest Hills. My sober date is August 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And it's 31 years.
My name is Glenn Seifert. My group is There Is a Way Out in Woodside, Queens, and my sober date is September 8th, 2004.
Hi, I'm Veronica C. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My home group is A Vision for You. It's a Big Book Study. Come on down on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. And my sober date is July 30th, 1990.
I'm John. I'm an alcoholic. I got sober in Brooklyn, May 20th, 1980. I'm a snowbird. When I'm in Florida, I call the Reflections Big Book Study in Fort Myers, Florida, my home group. When I'm in New York, I call Fort Tilden in Breezy Point, my home group.
Hi, my life-saving friends. My name is Jimmy, and I am an alcoholic, and I'm a member of the Sobriety and Beyond group in Fort Tilden in Rockaway, and my sobriety date is October 3rd, 1999.
How you doing, everybody? My name is Jeff O'Neill. My home group is Flushing Unity Step. Sobriety date, Pearl Harbor Day, 2002.
Hi, everyone. My name is Elaine. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Sanford and Flushing. Sobriety date is May 21st of this year.
Hi, everybody. My name is John Fody. I'm from Flushing Unity, and my sobriety date is August 16,
2004. Hi, everybody. My name is Nick. My home group is the Flushing Unity Group, and my sober date is October
16, 2004. Hi, my name is Chaya. I'm from the Little Church in the Gardens, and my sobriety date is May 19, 2006.
Hi, I'm Amber. I'm an alcoholic. My meeting is Utopia, and I have 69 days today.
My name's Bill. I'm an alcoholic American. My sobriety date is June 3rd, 1991. I'm from West Milford, New Jersey.
My name is Dawn. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Live and Let Live in Astoria, and my sober date is October 15th, 1991.
Hi, my name is B. I'm from the St. Nick's Group in Queens, and my sober date is August 18th, 1987.
Hi, my name is Roy Russo. I'm a real alcoholic. My home group is Utopia in Flushing. My sober date is May 14th, 1989.
My name is Dorothy. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Keep It Green in Woodside. And my sober date is September 17th, 1988.
Hello, my name is Jane, and I'm an alcoholic, and my sober date is April Fool's Day, 2005, and my home group is Flushing Unity. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Carmel, and I've been a member of Al-Anon since May 1991.
My name is Abby. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Serenity in Bethlehem. My sober date is October 4th, 2000.
Hi, I'm Rachel. I'm an alcoholic from Allentown, PA. My sobriety date is March 23rd of 06.
Hi, my name is Alexis Peters. I'm a recovered alcoholic from Whitehall, Pennsylvania. And my home group is Fogelsville Big Book Study Group, and my sobriety date is March 14th, 2005.
Hi, my name is Siobhan. I'm an alcoholic from Fogelsville, Pennsylvania, and my sobriety date is April 19th this year.
I'm Elizabeth Batches, recovered alcoholic, Fogelsville, firing line in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
I'm Tim Nagel. I'm a recovered alcoholic from Bridgeport, Connecticut. Home group is the Monroe Big Book Study Sunday night, April 2006.
Hi, everybody. I'm Lisa. I'm an alcoholic. And my home group is the Monroe group. And my sobriety date is February 14th of 04.
Harry, grateful recovered alcoholic, and I'm tied for the record.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jennifer Nagel. Excuse me. I'm recovered alcoholic. My sobriety date is May 26th of 06, and my home group is the Big Book Study Group in Monroe.
My name is Linda, and I'm a grateful recovered alcoholic. My sober date is February of this year.
Hi, my name is Stan. I'm an alcoholic, of course. Sobriety date is September 8th, 2004. And I belong to Utopia Group. Thank you.
Well, welcome, all of you. And I'm glad you're all here. It's good to hear where everyone's from, get some kind of an idea of what, you know, sobriety dates and how much sobriety there is in the room. Was reminded of a couple things. I've been to the last two internationals, and they didn't do it, but I understood that the one before that, that when, you know, at the international, they have a big flag ceremony, and they bring out all the flags of the nations. And he said when Ireland came out, they gave him a standing ovation, you know, 50,000 people. You know, they were so grateful that the Irish were sober. But anyway, I don't know if that's true or not, but I heard that. We're going to tell you a little bit about ourselves, and then we're going to, I guess, do a little group conscience action and figure out about breaks and things like that. My name is Tom, and I am an alcoholic. And by God's grace, I've been continuously sober since June the 15th of 1986. I hope you're impressed with that. I only say it to impress you. Reason being that when I was doing it, when I was working on sobriety, I had 8 days and 16 years, and that was the best I could put together. When I surrendered my life to a power I didn't understand or couldn't see, everything changed for me. And I hope that's been your experience, too. I have a home group in Santa Fe, New Mexico. We're simply called an AA group. That comes from the long form of the third tradition. It roughly says any two or more gathered for the purpose of sobriety may call themselves an AA group. So we do. And we meet at the Salvation Army on Monday nights at 7 o'clock. We run till 8:15. All of you are welcome. We'd love to see every one of you there. What we do is we're a big book step study group, not in the way that they do it in Massachusetts, the way they do it in New Mexico, or actually I don't even know how they do it in New Mexico, but the way they do it at my home group. And what we do is we go very, very slowly through the big book and very kindly. Okay, hope you hear that. And we look for the directions that we are sure are there for how these 12 steps are supposed to be worked. And we share our experience with working them, not our opinions about what it might be like if we did work them, but the experiences that we've had working them. Big difference. One of the things that I keep hearing, and I hope that some of you have gotten, is that you can recover from alcoholism. If you read your big book, it promises you that about 16, 17 different times that I know of, and it's absolutely the case. One of the other pieces that a lot of people miss is that relapse is not a necessary part of recovery. You don't have to do it. Okay, a lot of people do. I did. You know, some other people did. But it's not necessary. It doesn't have to happen. Another important piece. When I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous in 1985, I didn't want to be there. My wife at the time, who is also my wife at this time, and sitting next to me, Juanita.
That's good information.
She had issued me an ultimatum, and it was go to AA or get the hell out. You know, probably none of you were ever given that choice, but given the cold weather was coming on and given that choice, I went to AA and absolutely hated it. I thought it was the most grim place I had ever been. I thought the people there were pathetic losers. At the time, I was shooting a little heroin to be able to get well enough to go into the meeting, but they were all losers. I didn't drink, though. That was very important. And anyway, I didn't like it at all. And one of the things that they said that I heard them say that I really didn't like was, you don't ever have to take a drink again of alcohol as long as you live. That didn't sound good to me. That wasn't good information for me, okay? Because what alcohol was for me was medicine, okay? I didn't party. I didn't have fun. I was extremely desperate, and alcohol was a medicine that worked for me. And when I found that it did, I kept indulging. I kept taking that medicine. I knew enough to know from the broken bones and the jailings and the times when you're just separated from alcohol, you just can't get a drink, that those times are not good times for a guy like me, okay? Being off the sauce is not a good place for a guy like me to be. So when they said you don't ever have to drink again for the rest of your life, I thought that sounds like a life sentence, you know. But then later, once I came to this big book, and I was about 6 years sober when I came to people who had actually done the stuff. You know, Ed was talking tonight. A lot of people talk this. Talk is the cheapest thing that we've got going for us. But if you watch people and you watch how they behave and you watch the ones that are walking it, their lives are different. They've been changed. And when I saw that, I experienced that, people whose lives were completely different. And their words and their actions matched up pretty darn close. Then I became interested in this thing, and somebody gave me the real magic formula. They said, you never have to feel the way that you used to feel again. And I thought, my God, that's what I want. You know, that's what I'm after. I was 6 years sober. I was on my way out. I was on my way to drink again. I know full well I was. I was depressed again. You know, you've heard it called untreated alcoholism. That's exactly what it is. I have something. Alcoholism does not exist in a bottle of Jack Daniels for me. Alcoholism exists inside of me, and Jack Daniels is the treatment for that. Okay? And so, but I didn't understand that. I went through a treatment center, and I was led to believe or interpreted it. What they told me as soon as I got the booze out of my life would improve and my attitude would improve and everything else, and it just didn't happen that way. So I'm 6 years sober. I'm on my way out, and actually I was thinking I met a man by the name of Joe H., who some of you know. Actually, I heard some of his tapes. It was 1992, and I heard some of his tapes. And what he said in there is that you can recover from alcoholism. And if you do exactly what it says to do in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, he guaranteed that you would have a result. You'd have a spiritual experience, and you'd recover from alcoholism. No one had guaranteed me anything like that before. When I got sober, it was a lot of therapy, a lot of different stuff. I won't go into all that, but a lot of you know what I'm talking about. It was everything but the 12 steps within the rooms of AA. And so I set out to meet Joe, and I found him. I located him. He was speaking in Amarillo, Texas, and I found him, and I got a hold of him and talked to him about this. And he did a lot of things with me that weekend. He was a speaker at a conference, but he showed me how to write inventory, as it's outlined in the Big Book, on a napkin. You know, I'd done 16 inventories from every kind of treatment center manual you could find, but never done it as it was outlined in the Big Book. And it was simple enough you could fit it on a cocktail napkin in a restaurant, a coffee shop. And anyway, we did a bunch of stuff, and he said to me, and this will be interesting for the people from Cannes who are here, he said, are you coming to Breckenridge this summer? And I said, Kentucky? And he says, no. He says, Colorado. And I said, well, why? He says, oh, well, man, that's the Fellowship of the Spirit Conference in this July 93. And I said, well, I've never heard it. What is that? He goes, man, that's the Cannes Film Festival of people who do the work from the Big Book. I said, damn, I got to check that out. So Juanita and I went up there in 93. It was the first Fellowship of the Spirit Conference, I think, anywhere that was ever held. We were the only New Mexicans. We came back shouting great tidings in our meetings, and people would roll their eyes, get up and go to coffee. I mean, we were a pariah? Is that the word? Yeah. We absolutely were unpopular coming back with that message into the community where we lived. And now it's we just last weekend was the 14th. We've been to every one of them, and we had almost 100 people from New Mexico up there. And the entire complexion, the entire fabric of Alcoholics Anonymous in Santa Fe, where we live, has changed in those 14 years. I was sitting in a meeting not too long ago, and a woman from, I don't know where she was from, you know, some other place, California, Pennsylvania, something, and she was sharing, and she said, you know, I'm so damn sick of these Santa Fe AA meetings where all you ever hear about is the steps and the big book and God that I just don't know what to do. And I thought, hallelujah. You know? We've done it. But anyway, point of that is that, you know, I was a hopeless drunk. There was no way out for me. I had no idea how sick I really was. It was a last window of opportunity that I had. My life was useless and worthless. You've heard other people say this, that it's the absolute truth, that there wasn't a person that cared about me or was even, you know, in touch with me, my business partners and people like that, who wouldn't have been better off if I had left the planet on June the 14th of 86. My family would have been much better off if I had. They honestly would have. I had a wasted and worthless life that I had burned to the ground. I was 38 years old and my life was over. And due to an incredible blessing and a lot of luck, and purely by the grace of God, my life was turned into something worthwhile that meant something, you know. And I'll be forever grateful for that. And so what I wanted to say to you guys is we bring tidings from your Western cousins. You know, we were with Arnella was there last weekend. And I think there's a guy, Jim M., who was there, is going to come down tomorrow. But we were with a lot of people from Colorado and Arizona and California. And, you know, Ed was asking me about this Fellowship of the Spirit conference, and I was telling him it's coast to coast now. I believe we've been to all of them now that we're at this one. There's about seven of them, and they're starting in this coming April. They're going to have Fellowship of the Spirit South in Lafayette, Louisiana. Yeah. You know Bubba R. and you know Bubba? that's really his name. Yeah. And Bobby B. And a bunch of those guys down there have started this thing up, and so there will be Fellowship of the Spirit South. So we're really happy to be a part of this. I'm glad to finally make it to this one. I've always wanted to come to this one. I was raised in this area. I did my early drinking was out in Nassau County. I went through all the way through school in Port Washington, and probably somebody here from Port Washington. And then I was kind of misplaced out to the west. I was on a geographic, and in the late 60s, early 70s, I ended up in Santa Fe, which is where I did most of my drinking. But and I'll tell you more about that. You know, one piece, we've been into Manhattan twice since we've been here. We arrived yesterday, and I was telling Juanita, we've gone through the Midtown Tunnel four times, and I told her I used to drive that in blackouts all the time. I'd leave Long Island, and I'd go to the city and have an adventure, come home, and never remember it. And today I can't even, you know, going through there sober is an adventure now, you know. So I'm really grateful to be alive and grateful to be here. And I'm going to let Juanita tell you about herself.
Hi, everybody. I really am glad to be here, too. And the Mother Conference in Colorado sends greetings, and it's nice. Tom and I both sit on the board of that conference, and so when we say we bring you greetings, we really do mean it. I walked into my first meeting of any 12-step program while Tom was in the treatment center, and I walked into an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And as I sat down there and I looked around, I wasn't sure what to expect. But this one man came up to me, and I watched him I watched him when I sat down going around the room, and he was handing out these little chips to people if that was their first meeting. And he said, he came to me and he asked me my name, and I told him my name's Juanita, and he said, well, welcome, would you like a chip? It's a welcome chip. And I said, well, I'm not an alcoholic. And he said, that's okay, honey, this is just to welcome you into the halls here. And I said, yeah, sure, I'll take one. And I carried that around with me for a long time. I finally lost it. I don't know where I did, but it was a nice little reminder of just coming in to some hope. As I sat in that meeting that day, it was a Saturday. Actually, it was a Sunday morning. And I listened to people as they shared at that meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I had some serious, very serious thoughts go through my head because, you see, I drank an awful lot. I drank an awful lot, and I did an awful lot of drugs. I did just about every kind of drug I think there was at the time, every way there was to do it. And so as I heard people share, I could relate to the way they felt. I could, you know, they talked about the hole that the wind would blow through. They talked about the hopelessness, the loneliness, the sadness, the frustration, the loss that they were feeling, and how they couldn't stand to see themselves, couldn't stand to look at themselves. And I thought, oh, my God, that's how I feel. Am I an alcoholic? And I had that doubt with me for many, many years until I found a sponsor that put me through the pages of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, and I found out for myself, and for reasons that I'll go into later on, that I was not an alcoholic, that I was not a drug addict, but that I belonged in the fellowships of Al-Anon, the fellowship of Al-Anon, that I had been affected by someone's drinking and had an allergy to alcohol, however, when somebody drank, not when I put it into my body. And we'll go into that a little bit. So when I finally went into my first Al-Anon meeting, not too long after that, I did it for all the wrong reasons. When I took Tom into the treatment center, they said to me, you know, before we let him out of here, you're going to have to go to 3 Al-Anon meetings. And I thought, you want him that bad, you can just keep him. I really did. And so I wasn't too keen on this Al-Anon business. Plus, I always thought that it was his problem. And I didn't have a problem. It was all his problem. But they said that it'd be a good idea. And I wanted to look like the kind, supportive, loving wife that I wasn't. And so I thought about going. And the first time that I went to this building, it's called the Friendship Club in Santa Fe, and there were some stairs going down, and it was lunchtime, and I was going to go on my lunch hour, and I went, and I was in my car, and I was driving around, and I saw some of these people walking into this building. They didn't look too swift, you know, and I thought, I don't know that I want to go in there. And so I drove around the building, and I drove around again, and I thought, you know what, I don't think I want to go down there. And so I just ended up going back to work. Well, Tom would call me up, and he'd ask me, have you gone to an Al-Anon meeting? And I'd say, no, not yet. And he goes, well, I think you'll really like it. He said, I found this little AA meeting here at the treatment center, and they're great people, and I think you'd love the people who go to Al-Anon. And I thought, yeah, sure, whatever. You see, because if he was telling me to do it, if he was suggesting it, that was the last thing in the face of this planet that I was going to do. But he kept bugging me, and he kept bugging me. And another family day was coming up at the treatment center, so I thought, you know what, I just better go. So I went for the wrong reason. And I walked into this meeting on July 2nd, 1986. And I looked around that little meeting, and I thought, you know what, I'm coming because I have to come. But there's a bunch of housewives here. I wasn't a housewife. There was a bunch of aging hippies, and that was kind of like been there, done that. And then there were a lot of people who were very nicely dressed, you know, business suits, business clothes. And I thought, not one person here can help me. Not one person here can help me. You see, I was a professional woman, and people where I worked did not talk about things that were going on in my life. I remember one day, shortly after Tom, and well, it was almost a year that we'd met, we'd taken this little trip to Mexico. And coming back after 2 weeks, it was a buying trip for Tom. He's in construction, and he was coming back over the board, and we had the car full of tiles and hardware and all sorts of things that he was going to use on a job on a house he was building. And as we pulled up to the border cops asked us to pull over to the side, and they were going to check our car further. Long story short, I was the one they strip searched, not him. And why am I going into this? There was a purpose, and it just kind of flew. Give me a second; it will come, or it'll come back later.
You didn't want the people in the office.
Oh yeah. So anyway, thanks, honey. So coming back, I told the people at the office what happened at the border, and their mouths just kind of dropped to their chests, you know, they kind of, and so I knew that my little stories just weren't appreciated, and they just couldn't understand it. So I quit talking to the people in my office, because, like I said, the things that were going on in my home and in my life, they weren't talking about. So I knew that these people at this Al-Anon couldn't help me, this Al-Anon meeting, they just couldn't help me. But I sat there, I sat there. And towards the end of the meeting, this woman shared, and she was brand new, I guess. Well, she was brand new. And she says, I just need to know how to get my husband sober. And she shared for a little bit about what was going on in her life. And then she said, thank you very much. And, you know, then I promptly raised my hand, and I proceeded to tell her and everyone else how I'd gotten my husband into the treatment center. And when I was done, they said, thank you for sharing. Keep coming back. And I thought, I will, because you guys really need me. They really needed me. I had been to some family days. I knew I had some important information. What I very conveniently forgot was that about a month before Tom went into the treatment center, I had woken up from a dream that I'd had, and in this dream there was this dirty, smelly, creepy, crawly guy crawling out of the gutter. And it was Tom. And as I woke up, I tried to deny that the dream didn't mean what I thought it meant. And what I thought it meant was, this is really the type of man you're married to, and this is really your life, which is in the gutter. And you're in the gutter with it. And I could no longer deny that. I could no longer deny that. And I had been denying that for 9 years. And I said a prayer, and the prayer was, God, what am I going to say? I'm going to talk to this man. And my next thought was, you've been talking to this man for 9 years. What are you going to say that is going to be any different from what you've said before? And I said, I don't know, God. If I talk to him, you need to give me the words. You need to give me the words. Steps 1, 2, and 3. And I was clueless. So I walk into this Al-Anon meeting, and I share, and I think, I got him into the treatment center. Never once did it occur to me that perhaps he was as sick and tired of being sick and tired as I was. You see, I thought I did it. That is my disease. I think I got power over him. I thought I had power over him. I thought I could figure out the magic words to say that would get him sober. So I sat at my meeting. Is she not the cutest little thing? She's a sweetheart. I'm glad she's here, by the way, whoever her mother is. Seriously. One of the things that I tell the women or the fathers who come into my meeting at home is, I'm very grateful that you're here, and I'm very grateful that you brought your children, because our children are the ones who suffer the most in our families. So God bless you for bringing your kids. God bless you. I was sitting at my home group on Wednesday. My home group is the New Hope Family Group, and we meet at 12:10 on Wednesdays in Santa Fe at the Friendship Club. And if you're ever there, come join us. We let alcoholics in all the time. In fact, we have quite a few alcoholics who have decided that they need Al-Anon. And we're very glad they're there. They have a lot to offer. I have a little gal I sponsor who adds to that. And what she says is, we're glad you're here, but remember, in this program, in this fellowship, you are a beginner. You know, all the work that you've done is good work. It's kept you sober. But for the family stuff, you're brand new. So just a little reminder that she likes to throw out there. So anyway, I was sitting at my home group, and when the meeting was over, I was talking to a couple of the gals who I just, some of my closest friends. And we were talking about, you know, the weekend that we had just been to at the Fellowship of the Spirit in Colorado, and that I was coming here to the New York Fellowship of the Spirit. And they asked me, you know, well, are you participating? And I said, yeah. I said, Tom and I are doing a workshop. And my friend Libby said, oh, that's going to be great. And all of a sudden, I found myself crying. And I said, you know what, Libby? I said, I really don't want to go. I really don't want to go. I said, if I could have my choice, I would just stay home. Because what happens to me is when I go and I have to share, I have to be open with these people. The prayer that Tom said at the beginning of this, which is, I ask God for an open heart, an open mind, and I also ask God for an open spirit. That opens me up completely and fully, so that when I share with you, it's not head stuff. It's not coming from my head. It's coming from my heart. It's coming from my soul. And I said, I'm awfully raw right now. I said, I'd rather be here feeling raw with people I know. And she said to me, she's such a little brat. She said, oh, she says, but you do some of your best work when you're wide open. You see, what happened is that two weeks ago yesterday, my father passed away, and I had been his primary caregiver, and I was blessed with being him when he passed on, and I really am raw. And I got in my car to go home, and I thought, those people in New York are just people who haven't become your friends yet. And as some of you introduced yourselves, you said, hello, family. And so what I say to you tonight is, hello, family. And what you'll hear from me and what you hear from Tom, it's not just going to be head stuff, but it's going to come from our hearts. It's going to come from our hearts. I have a friend who says, we speak the language of the heart. We speak the language of the heart from hearts who have hurt to hearts that are hurting, so that our hearts may heal. So what we do this weekend, we will do in prayer. We will do with God, and we will do with love. And I am very grateful to be here with you this weekend.
We're thinking that smokers probably need to smoke, and peers need to pee. And how long a break would you guys like to take?
10.
I hear, okay. 15. I hear 10. What do we want?
15. 15.
15. Okay, let's
we'll
be back
here.
I'm an alcoholic. By God's grace, I'm sober and alive and grateful to be in that shape. I was telling some folks at the break that my sponsor for 8 years was a man named Don Pritz. He died in March of 2005. And he used to say that the most important thing that will happen here this weekend is when you guys are all talking together. And so we have to respect that and not break that up. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. What I'm always trying to do is get Juanita to sit down with me and plan one of these out. Yeah, right. You know her. No. And what she always says to me every time, she goes, let's just let God show us what's supposed to come out, you know. And that's a little scarier than when you plan it all out, you know. You gotta trust the Spirit. Well, you gotta trust that Spirit's gonna fill you and speak through you. And so that's generally what we do. This afternoon we meditated for a while and asked for something to come forward. And what came forward is Juanita would like to start this with some 11-step stuff. And then we're going to flip back to the first step at some point. So, Juana?
Okay.
Well, let me just say one thing before she gets started. Typically, I explain, we've never done one this big, but we've done a lot of these. We've literally done them coast to coast. And I usually explain, we have a few more Al-Anons than have showed up at this, but I'm glad the ones that are here are here. But what my mission with the workshop that we do is twofold. And number one is I want the family members to understand that I do have an illness, I do have a disease, and that what I did, the way I harmed them, was beyond what I could control. It really seriously was. It's not a make-believe illness. It's a real disease. And could I have done it any differently, believe me, I would have. And, you know, I'm still working on that. I'm 20 years sober, and I'm still working on that won't regret the past part of the nine-step promises because there are things that happened to my family that I still regret, and that's just the God's honest truth. So could I have done it any differently? I would have done it differently. So I want the family members to hear that and understand that. I think that's an important piece. For the alcoholics, if you open your hearts and your minds to what Juanita has to say, you'll get a deeper understanding of what that did do to the family. You see what I'm saying? And how your families were affected. And hopefully there'll be some healing come out of that. You know, we go to a lot of conferences just a whole lot of them. And oftentimes the Al-Anon will be relegated to like the 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon slot. It's when everybody's eaten and they're all falling asleep. I don't know if you've ever been. But beyond that, about half to two-thirds of the alkies don't show up for the Al-Anon talk. And I have a theory about it. If you're not recovered, meaning if you haven't taken the medicine that we offer through the steps, then you probably got a lot of baggage that you're carrying. By that I mean guilt and shame about your family and what happened with them. Don taught me that I had a lot of guilt and shame because I'd done a lot of things that, unless you're a sociopath, you should feel guilty and ashamed of, you know. And it's absolutely true. But I've cleaned 90% of that up and, you know, as best I can. And so we find that, you know, it takes something special to listen to a family member and really hear them in a lot of cases, especially if you haven't cleaned up your stuff with the men's work. So anyway, that's my mission with this, and that's I hope what we will accomplish. Okay.
So why the 11th step? You know, as Tom shared with you, we did some meditation before we joined up with the other people we were going to dinner with tonight, and when I came out of it, it was clear that, you know, it was the 11th step we were going to start with. Well, it must have been about maybe eight, nine years ago, and Tom was sponsoring this woman, a mountain woman. I mean, literally a mountain woman. She lived up in the mountains and came down to town very rarely, and she had not only a mountain woman but a dog woman, and I really mean a dog woman. She had a dog wolf woman. She had dogs that had the wolf strain, and she had anywhere from 45 to 60 of them at different times since she lived in the mountains. And one day, she was at our house, and she was having a tough time staying sober. She'd been around Alcoholics Anonymous for a good 20, 25 years, right?
One thing that happened was the dogs ate her fourth step. That was a bummer.
And she was down at the house one day, really a sweet, sweetheart that this woman had. And she was tough for me. She was really tough for me. You know, she just, there was always a crisis going on in her life, and it was just difficult. And I really had to work my program and bring God into my any interaction I had with her. Well, one day she asked me, she was at the house, and I had brewed some coffee, and I gave her a cup of coffee, and she said, "How do you stay sober? How do you stay sober?" She said, "I can't stay sober. How am I going to stay sober?" And I said, "Well, Shem, I don't know, honey, because I'm not an alcoholic, so I don't know how to tell you to stay sober. But what I do know is that when I have a very, very difficult time, what I do is I pray. I pray." I said, "I pray, and then I pray some more, and after I'm done praying, I pray some more." I said, "I have to pray like my life depends upon it, because it does. I have to pray as if my ass depends upon it, because it does." And she says, I said, "So after I pray, and then I pray some more, and I just keep praying. That's all I know to do." I got that there is at least about 10 fairly new people, very new people in the room. And maybe a few more. And there's some of you who maybe have never worked the steps, or who are just, as I spoke to you in the break, some of you said you're just beginning to work the steps. Well, what my sponsor first said to me, the step that you can begin working immediately is the 11th step. The 11th step is about prayer and meditation. Prayer and meditation. So, if you will indulge me for about 10 to 15 minutes, I would like to take you through some meditation and some prayer. Now, the prayer that I'm going to take you through, as I ask you to get comfortable and get quiet, are my morning prayers as I begin my day. I think it's pretty appropriate to do this as we begin this conference. Okay? So, get comfortable. Close your eyes. I'm going to begin this meditation the way I began it with my children when they were very, very little and had a very difficult time getting quiet at the end of the day so they could go to sleep. And what I would say to them is, wiggle your toes and wiggle your fingers. You see, they had to begin to feel their bodies and feel their bodies moving before they could get them to stop. They had to become aware of what was going on with them physically. So wiggle your toes and wiggle your fingers. And now breathe in, breathe out. And slowly stop wiggling your fingers and your toes. Breathe in. Breathe out. Imagine yourself on a warm beach. Not too hot. Just a nice warm beach with the sun shining on you and the sand below you. And you feel the warmth of the sun on your toes. You feel the warmth of the sun moving through your feet to your ankles. You feel the warmth of the sun as it begins to go up your calves, slowly to your knees. Going up your thighs, just
a nice, warm, gentle sun and the warmth from the sand slowly filling you. You feel the warmth of the sun on your rear end very slowly going up your spine, filling your back. Nice, warm, gentle. You feel it on your hips, your belly, your chest. And as you feel the warmth entering your chest, there's a bright light that begins to slowly fill you. The warmth goes through your shoulders, down your arms to your elbow, your forearms, down to your wrists, the light filling you also, and the warmth goes down into your hands, slowly enters every single finger of your hand, and the bright light fills you deeper and slowly becomes even brighter. And as that bright light goes down through your arms, to your hands, to your fingers, all your troubles, all your worries, all your cares go straight out from your fingertips. And the light becomes brighter and fills you more fully. And the warmth begins to go up your neck, through the back of your head, to the top, down your forehead, your eyes, your cheeks, your nose, your ears, your mouth, your chin. A nice, gentle warmth, and the light fills you fully, completely. That's the light of God. Welcoming you, filling you. Saying, let me in. As you recognize this light as God, we begin a prayer. And in this prayer, we ask God to direct our thinking, to divorce our minds from thoughts of self-pity, dishonest, self-seeking motives, so our thinking may be on a much higher plane, free of these wrong motives, so that we may use our brain as God, the light, would have us. We ask for an intuitive thought, decision. We ask to be shown what each and every step should be along the way, to relax, take it easy, not to struggle, just to wait for the next right thing. We ask God to take away our self-will to the exact degree it's not of service to God and to our fellow man. Help us, God, to recognize when we become agitated or doubtful, irritated, bugged, pissed off, fearful, so that at that exact moment, you give us your power, God, so that we may pause and ask you for right thought or action and your power to carry it out. Grant me the ability to remind myself consistently throughout the day that I'm not running the show, to say to myself, "Thy will, not mine, be done." Keep me from the dangers of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, foolish decisions, jealousy, self-righteousness, procrastination, and perfection. Grant me the ability to be more efficient, to not burn up energy foolishly, trying to arrange the show to suit myself. I'm undisciplined, God. Please discipline me. Show me the way of kindliness, patience, tolerance, and love with everyone I come in contact with today. Help me grow in effectiveness and understanding, in love and tolerance. Grant me the ability to carry the vision of your will for me into all my activities. Your will, not mine, be done. Show me what I can do for the person who is still sick and suffering, and give me whatever I need to be able to carry out your will and be of service to you and to them. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. We ask that God give us the ability to feel Him, His presence, as we're here this weekend, to see the presence of God in ourselves and in each other in this sacred time. We want to enter the world of the Spirit, to have sobriety, to have serenity, to have peace of mind, to have usefulness and purpose. Feel the light. Not only is it in you, the light surrounds you. And the light shines out from each and every one of us and goes out to each other, to everyone here in this room. That's the peace, that's the love, that's the joy of God. As you slowly come out of this, be mindful that this feeling of peace, this quiet, is here for us at all times. This weekend, when we leave from here this evening, as we go home, and as we come in contact with those we love and those we don't know. As you're ready, slowly join us and come back and ask God for the energy to be mindful and to be present for the rest of the evening while we're here. Thank you.
Anyone fall asleep? I almost did. Okay, we're going to start in with the first step, and I'll tell you a little story. 1986, I go to a treatment center in Albuquerque, New Mexico, not to get sober, but to get out of the storm of my life, the crap that I'd created out of my life. My problems had piled up on me, and they'd become astonishingly difficult to solve. In fact, there was no solution to them. I had bounced checks all over town. Doctor told me if I kept drinking, I was going to die in 6 months. My wife wanted me out of the house. business partner had just found out I'd been stealing from him for a period.